remember those college days? You needed to borrow a few items, and it was quick text or an instant message. Do you remember that? Yeah, AOL Instant Messenger. Thanks, Steve Case, for Instant Messenger. That was very fun back in the day. Well, anyway, in the grown-up world, you've got to move into a condo and or a community. How the hell do you find what you're looking for? I'm not going to go buy a saw or go buy some random things for a one-time use, but I have no idea how to find this stuff. To help lend us some knowledge in the area is Spare to Share, founder and CEO Greg Jaros.
That's right.
I pronounced it right in the first time. Yes. Is in studio. I am Scott Catoon, and it's Technori Live. Greg, great to have you in studio.
Great to be here, Scott. Thank you very much.
Of course. So I'm honestly very fascinated with this, with the concept. I'm sort of, I don't know what the best way to put this. I'm a fence sitter in the shared economy kind of world. I love to borrow things and take advantage of discounts and like take advantage of other people's things, right? But I'm an only child. I really don't like to share anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I guess, go ahead.
You know, what you described is the exact kind of issue with these small item sharing. So if you need something, you would call up your friends or you'd maybe lend it to your neighbors, but you're not going to go in your garage and take a picture of all your stuff.
Yeah.
So some stranger just who happens to be in the same zip code can borrow it. That's just not going to happen.
Yep.
So the sharing economy got all excited because people were sharing their cars and letting strangers live in their home. But all those transactions are financial transactions. So the risk of meeting a stranger is mitigated by the money you get for
sure.
it. So if you're talking about really free sharing, you know, why are you going to do that? Why are you going to go to a lot of work for that? So we started this business thinking we were going to help solve that problem. We're going to solve that case where you have a ladder and I have a drill and why are we buying these things? And when we first rolled this out in 2013 now, we got a handful of people who were very into it and they were listing all their stuff and we quickly got 4,000 or 5,000 items in the database. But most people were just lurking and looking for something. And
I'm a lurker.
They'd say, yeah, where's that drill? And if nobody near them happened to list one, they didn't see anything. So we kind of pushed along, but after a year or so, we realized this is really going to be a struggle. We're either going to need to raise a lot of money to get the word out, or we're going to need to pivot our business somehow because we're not going to be able to survive with the little bit of cash we raised in the beginning. But what was interesting as we were going was there was a few communities where people were really starting to list things, but more importantly, they were using it and trying to communicate, saying, my granddaughter's staying with me for the weekend. Who has baby toys or you know, I'm doing some work in my car, who has tools? But our tool didn't have a good way for them to communicate like that. So we went back to the lab and kind of rethought this instead and said, instead of sharing in zip codes where you don't really have any trust, let's take this into much tighter communities, buildings, your residential building, your apartment, your commercial building, your co-working space, and make it about communication and collaboration as well as sharing. And so that was the pivot that we ended up doing that we came out of this year, and now we're seeing a lot more success and excitement in this.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess, you know, with my remarks prior to that, I see the value. Individually, I see like how I could be a lurker, right? But then into your pivot, I see the value there as a community kind of organizer, try to, you know, with Technori, I mean, for lack of a better explanation, we are lending resources to startups. So startups come to us and say, we don't know where to get space. Meet our guys from Jones Lang LaSalle. Yeah. We don't know where to get our next employee. Meet our friends over at Hired. You know, where do we get benefits? Meet our people at Insperity. Where do we get IT? Where do we get financing? Chase, all these people, we put them together and provide them with all these different resources because we learned what you learned, which is that people will not publicly go out and say, we need this or I want this. There's just like a weird sort of thing there unless it's a very clear financial gain.
Yeah, what they really won't do is say, I have this in case somebody wants it.
Yeah.
You know, what we're seeing
is... Well, because you lose your upper hand, right? I mean, the minute that you tell somebody like, hey, you know, we've got all kinds of different things we can offer you, all of a sudden you get the lurkers you don't want to start like hanging out around you. And I think that's maybe part of it. And I want to get into like a deeper conversation with you, not just about what you guys are doing and have learned, but the shared economy. I think that the shared economy, gig economy combo is a big thing for us in the future. You know, Elon Musk just came out not long ago saying that there's going to be kind of like a human payment that everyone's going to get because robots are going to take the vast majority of jobs. And well, you know, I don't want to get into like the whole dynamics of that, but it means that if you want to subsidize and sort of supplement that stuff, you're going to have to do all kinds of shared things, make use of your tools and make better use of your resources.
Yeah.
You as a company found a way to connect people that are already connected in a superficial way in a physical world.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the way you just described it is perfect. So people are living in an apartment building. You move in, you move out a year and a half later, and we don't know how many stories we hear. People say, I was so excited to meet people and I moved out. I didn't really know anybody.
Yep.
But you're riding the elevator together and you're awkward looking at each other and you're all walking past the same doorman together. Wouldn't it be nice if there are some ways to connect people? So that's really what our pivot has been, that it's not just about getting stuff for free. It's about creating community, creating engagement, and using technology to create a better offline life, right? So now you have friends. We've had groups where people set up a beach volleyball team together. They would have never done that without our tool. It's, somebody else, I'm looking for a lawyer to review a contract. Is there anybody there? They would have never posted that on the bulletin board.
It has a very, when I first talked to you on the phone about this, it had a very Angie's List feel to it, where mean in any sort of common what you guys do, but it had a feel of like your local handy repairman. Prior to this, I would have just Googled and whoever had the best SEO would have come up and that's my new person.
Right.
Versus I didn't know that down the street is a neighbor of mine who actually does this on the side and could use the cash and is completely, the right person for the job. I wouldn't have known that.
Right.
And now I do. And you're doing essentially the same thing in your community, which I think, in my opinion, is just really, really cool, because I'm connected to more people now than ever in my life, and I talk to fewer people now than ever in my life, literally.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And so this is really that same kind of story, just hyper, hyper local, right? This is not even your block. This is your building.
Yeah.
And somebody's in your building that, maybe you'll be friends with. Who knows? So why not meet them?
At the very minimum, it makes it much easier for me to reach out to them, whereas, I feel, even now, and I obviously talk to people on shows, although socially, I'm really good at talking to 1,000 people in front of me. I'm really, really, really shitty at talking to 3 people, But the bottom line is I have a hard time walking up to even a neighbor in my building. I know the guy above me, the lady to the left of me, and the guy across the hall from me. I don't know anybody else.
Right.
I see the same 50 people every day. I don't have a clue who they are, because I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And the funny thing, to prove sort of your pivot and model, the way I got to meet the guy above me was I was looking for a new grill. And he had a grill up on his balcony. I was like, that is a really awesome grill. Mm-hmm. And I just said, hey, I'm looking for a grill. Where'd you get it? And it started a conversation. And then the guy next to him actually ended up blah, blah, blah. I ended up coming down and borrowing one of my blender.
Yeah.
Random. He never gave me the blender back, by the way. That doesn't happen on your site.
No, if you did it on there, you'd have a little record of who took it and where it is.
But the point is, that's it working naturally.
Yeah.
That's how it worked naturally. Now imagine if I could actually go, across the way and meet all the people in my community. And I feel like you'd have much more trust. I don't think... This is so many great things can come from this.
Yeah. You're so right. And what you said about, the people when you walk out your apartment, those doors. When our first version of this, even my wife was not sure she was going to use it. And she's like, Greg, when I walk out the door, my front door, I see these houses. That's who I know. That's who I trust. Somebody 4 blocks away, they're my zip code, but I don't know them. I don't trust them. You're exactly right. And when you're in this building, you do have something in common. So why not extend that network to where the trust already is? It's just not being leveraged yet.
Yeah. And the funny thing about it is I think I'm with your wife in this. I don't naturally want to go meet a bunch of strangers. And actually, I don't even like meeting people in general. Networking events make me a little bit twitchy.
Yeah.
But in general, the idea of I think that if you break down the barrier and you have, there's no fear factor of is this guy going to be annoying? That it is actually nice to know everybody. And the safety factor of having an entire community of people who sort of can trade things with you back and forth, I think is really, really valuable.
Yeah. And we really see some neat things as we've been in some communities now for more than a year. And we see in the beginning not that much chatter as people are just listening. And then you see more and more people putting things out there, realizing, I could do this. I didn't realize I could do that. And so now a little impromptu happy hours that had 8 people now have 18 people. And when someone's, getting rid of something, they post and say, hey, anybody want this old monitor? It works. I just don't want it anymore. So someone did that last week in just a regular sized community with 100 people, and they got 18 people. That responded or walked down and said, hi, is the monitor still there?
Right? So
quickly. They all got to meet. They didn't meet before.
Yeah, and I think, with regard to that, how have you guys, I think a lot of platforms have been built, not like this, but to try to unify communities and crowds of people and sort of, I don't want to say monetize, but what's the right word, sort of leverage networks. But they don't do a very good job of actually starting that initial engagement, which you just brought up, which you have to have that first sort of touch point where people and the first hand was raised, and then we start to move. How did you guys foster that sort of thing? Because, with the pivot, you obviously got unique insight in what the individual, peer-to-peer chain, you know, trade is now in a community. How did you start the? Did you guys do anything to like, you know, throw our first party? Like, is there anything you did to get people to start communicating and exchanging up front?
Yeah, you know, our pivot was in many dimensions, actually. And so even in that one building that was using us where people were starting to exchange things, it was still 2% of the building that was doing something. So what worked for us is, and we're talking to some of our advisors in the real estate industry, and they said, I need people to use this. It can't just be the handful of sharers that want to use it. It'll die on the vine. So what operational features can you put in here? So if I have to send package notifications to my residents, can I do that through your system so they're more inspired to sign up? I want to do all my communication. I don't want to send this as a property manager now. Property manager says, I don't want to have to send emails anymore. I want everybody to be inspired to share it. So we had to change the technology so that we could bring in everybody's emails, even if they chose to never sign up, never download the app, they can still be communicated to by the property manager.
Well, yeah, it's key. I mean, you've got to be able to reach outward.
Yeah, and so then what we see is in the first month, we see, you know, a handful of people signing up. The second month, it grows, because each time that there's a notification, there's a little thing on the bottom saying, you're not in the community yet. Why don't you sign up? So in another building, we're in some student housing now, and we have really great acceptance in that building because they said, you have to use Spare to Share for your maintenance requests. And believe me, all these students have all sorts of maintenance requests. You can't believe the things they break.
That's the natural thing for me, like I was sort of led off with. When I was in college and when I first graduated and I moved into the condo, was like, wow, this is weird. Because like when I was in college in the apartment building, I borrowed stuff from people up, down, all around. Yeah. I didn't even know who the hell they were. Sometimes I think people – I literally had a guy down the hall who I did not know. And he stopped me in the hall one day and he was like, hey, man, can I get whatever, whatever? I literally I'd never talked to this person my whole life. He just happened to see me walking out with it. I left my door open and let him go in when I went to class. And like, well, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I took inventory, but he took it. A couple days later, I come back and it's just sitting in the front of my door. Mm. Like it worked out. I go to my condo. I'm like, I see a guy down the hall. I'm like, I'm looking for to rent a garage spot. Yeah. And I'm like, how in the hell am I going to do this? I don't know anyone. Mm-hmm. There's no online portal. What do I do?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you can stick a paper on the wall with your phone number. So now 20 random people have my direct cell. Like, that's just a terrible idea.
Right. Yeah, so you got to another point there, that's security. So even though you know somebody's in your building, you know, in our system, you don't ever put your apartment number or your phone number. So that scenario, you would just put a post out there saying, hey, I'm looking to rent a garage space. Anybody have one, you know, to rent?
You can communicate in a third-party piece that has some security measures in it so we can meet and talk. And if I think you're not a weirdo, then we can conduct business or whatever.
Yeah, right. And you don't have to, like, come to my house and get my blender. Let's meet in the lobby.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. I think it's a great idea. I really do. Two things that you brought up about the business itself that I'd like to talk about. One is, well, let's start with a pivot, because reality is many of the businesses, particularly startup companies that are on here, but even, you know, we're working with a couple of very large companies, which I won't talk about who they are, but that are in the middle of a pivot, and they're trying to navigate this sort of, we have provided a tool and a thing for somebody for many, many years, and now with technology, it seems that it's easier, that maybe our main problem has been solved. Mm. So, like, what is our future as a business? We're a multi-billion-dollar business. What do we do?
Yeah.
How did you, I don't want to say muster, like, the strength to say we're just going to turn and go on this, and it's like, this is our only route. But how did you sort of put the blinders on and say, well, you know, we take in the information we learned from our first initial mission, and now we're going to use it the right way in a pivot and not have reservations and slow down and sort of, you know, be reticent.
Yeah, it was tough for me, you know, as the founder, as the guy who created the MVP of the technology. You know, I believed this would work, and I still believe this could work.
Yeah.
I just don't have the time or the money to make it work, right? But it took me longer than it should have to accept this, that I'm not getting but a handful of people to list their items. And so this is going to be really tough. And what did it, besides some of my advisors kind of poking me, saying, you know, this is not working as fast as you thought it would, Greg, including my wife and my kids saying, you know, we don't take vacations
anymore. She was probably ahead of the investors going, Greg.
Yeah, and it's like, well, how long is this going to take? And let's scale this out. If this is what's happened in this amount of time, it's going to take you 10 years to do this, and spent a lot of money. But what made it easier was seeing some of our customers using it in a different way.
Sure.
That was probably the best thing for us to see that, hey, these people are excited about it. It's working in this one building, even just for 20% of the population. They're using it, you know, in different ways than we thought.
Yeah.
But they're having a hard time because the tool is not designed for that.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to step back and try to see if we can enhance those features and try it that way. We also had pivoted our industry. So, you know, is it residential buildings? Is it commercial buildings? Is it student housing? Is it co-working spaces? And we're still, you know, to some degree, have our toe in the water in many of these, just seeing where the best is. But it was hard as a founder to accept that I have chosen a direction that may be untenable. You know?
See, and that's the thing. I think ultimately with the companies, whether it's, you know, even myself, you know, with the different pivots we've done and even Technori, like sort of pivot's the wrong word. I think we hit a where we're supposed to go, and now it's sort of a next new mission sort of type of thing, 2.0, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
But as the founder, maybe less so than the employees, but I don't know, it's hard to say. You have to buy in 100%. And if part of you is, whether it's pissed or feels disappointed or whatever the deal, if you don't attack the pivot with the same commitment that you meant to attack the first one with, you're going to lose. And the pivot's just going to be kind of like, you know, with a car, your back tire sort of slides out. Mm-hmm. You've got to really, you know, go after it with that same, like, well, we learned a lot and we learned what we needed to know and what we didn't know.
Right.
And now we're ready to attack this with a new mission. We threw our mission in the garbage, and we wrote a whole new mission statement and a whole new roadmap. We hit it.
Boy, you're so right. I mean, the CEO, the founder, has to be the chief evangelist, right?
You've got to be.
And so if I'm looking like I'm depressed about this and everything, which there was some time that I probably
sure.
did look like
do
that.
Do that at home.
Yeah, right. And so you really have to inspire the troops. And if they're looking at you for inspiration and realizing you're you know wallowing in the mud, that's a real problem.
Yeah.
And that might be a sign that you shouldn't be doing this, right?
Well, yeah, you know, yes, I totally agree with that. But I do think that it's not an easy thing. You know, yeah. I think, now I'll scale this up to like a large organization.
Yeah.
Talking with some of the project managers and even the executives of this company, there is fear that, of course, they're going to have a hard time buying in, but there's many different consultants you can bring in to sort of rally the troops. If you don't feel like the pivot or direction change or 2.0, whatever you want to call it, if you don't feel like that has the same, you don't have the same value, the same need in the market, that's got to be a scary place, and you're sort of like in no man's land,
yeah.
trying to find the turn, if you will.
Yeah.
How did you manage that part? That's the part I feel yeah. like where this company ends up could slide off the tracks and go in the garbage,
right.
because you know what you knew, you know what you didn't know. You learned what you needed to know. You make the pivot, you identify it, but you still got to turn the ship. How did you manage to do that in a way where you were able to kind of be like, all right, now we're going to take all we got from this and move it into the next, you know, the next phase? How did you manage that?
Yeah, well, our pivot actually helped us reduce some risk in some area, because the original idea of the business was to just get massive amounts of people so that we can get funding to figure out how to monetize this, you know, with advertising or some hyperlocal, you know, marketing, something like that.
Yep.
But we really didn't have a solid revenue model, right?
Because
we weren't charging anybody. This is just a way for you to share things and, you know, hey, we're going to save the world.
Take that West Coast style.
Yeah, exactly.
We just get a whole bunch of users. We'll figure out that monetization part
that
later.
That was the approach. And so trying to get money in Chicago for
very
that,
difficult.
It just doesn't work,
yeah.
right? And so this pivot took us to the point where we also had a revenue model now, because instead of just doing, you know, connecting people in zip codes, we're going to buildings and providing a service to property managers. So it became very easy to make this pivot because it solved multiple problems. It's like, well, actually, we got revenue coming in now. Look at this. We have people that are writing us a check every month that they're happy about this.
Yep.
And that makes you feel so good. You know, even, you know, we're still not making a ton of money, but
yeah.
we got checks coming in every month. It feels fantastic. And so now that big, you know, issue out there that I didn't know how I was going to solve one day is no longer an issue, because I'm not trying to monetize by masses of people anymore.
Well, it's nice. I mean, it's nice when you can figure out finally how the chain links in the machine, so to speak. So once a machine starts rolling, it's like, all right, yeah. We're not churning tons of money, mm-hmm. but you now know where to pour the gasoline into
right.
to do it, which is ultimately, I think, the lesson that people don't learn in time. The businesses end up going under because they figured out, I can make money here and not here, but here and not there.
Yeah.
You can't scale that. There's no way to be like, all right, I know that in Q3, if we spend, you know, $100,000 in advertising, that we're going to be able to make, you know, whatever X dollars. If you can't get that machine going, it's going to be awfully difficult. I'm glad to hear that you guys have kind of figured that piece out. The last thing I want to ask you before we find out where to find the platform and everything is, what is your prediction of where the shared economy is going to go? Is it is this everything for rent at some point here? Or like, where do you see this going?
So when I think about the shared economy, I think there's really no sharing in the sharing economy. It's one of these crazy terms that, you know, it's the rent economy.
Yeah.
It's the rent economy.
It doesn't sound as good, you know.
Yeah, it's the gig economy, the rent economy. So I still believe that there will be a way that we're going to find some sharing in the sharing economy. It's tough where we try to do it with small things that don't have a lot of value. Yeah. So am I going to incur some risk to meet some stranger to save $30 on a tool? You know, a lot of people are going to say no to that, right? And if your item is a $500 air compressor, maybe you're not going to incur the risk to lend it to somebody because they never bring it back.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. I think that the rent and gig economy is going to keep growing and growing other than regulation. You know, regulation is going to start trying to slow it down, you know, which may be good, maybe not. But I don't know that I see a lot of free sharing, and that's what I really think of as dream of sharing economy.
I never thought about it until you said it like that. It's totally true, because I look at that and I go, this literally just hit me when you said this. The government has a rooted interest in stopping anything that is a shared economy by nature because they can't tax it.
Well, yeah.
So there's no assessed value on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are sharing things, by the pure virtue of growing up in a capitalist economy, would never give anything away that they could get something for.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like by its nature is a challenge. That said, in a position like you're in where there's a community, that's a little bit different scenario.
Yeah. So you know, the real nexus for how this business started, it came several years ago when we were throwing a graduation party for my daughter. And my wife is so good at borrowing things. So she was on the phone and she got tables and chairs and coolers and yard games, but we couldn't find a tent for the backyard. So we had the party. Actually, the night before the party,
You know, I got the tarp on the shed, honey.
Yeah, I went to Home Depot and I spent $200 on a tent and I set it up. And the party was great. But the first person who came to the party said, "I got that same tent in my backyard. You should have borrowed mine, right?" And so at that point, I was CIO at another startup, and I was like, "This is crazy. Why isn't there some network, some inventory of stuff that people have that they'd be willing to share, rent, or sell to people that they know?" And so I still believe there's some kind of market like that is going to happen. Even if it's just, you know, everybody at the party we knew, you know, it's just one person we didn't call and ask, right? So wouldn't it be nice if we just kind of blast out or see his inventory? And other than tying into like people's receipts on what they buy, I mean, how
it's like BYOB for the party, except you bring your own stuff.
Bring something, So maybe somebody will come up with something like that.
But I think you just did.
Yeah.
I think you just did. Where do people go to learn more and get on the platform and start using it, whether it's individuals or residential or whatever it is, commercial?
Yeah. So our website is spare2share.com, not the letter two, T-O, spare2share.com. We have iOS and Android apps. But right now, when you download those things, you need to put it in a community code. Our pivot is basically complete, that it doesn't really work well for random users anymore. And we're gonna fix that again. And by early next year, it'll be great for random users. But right now, if you're in a community, it works fantastic for you. If you want to be in a community, go to our website and hit the contact us button, and we'll follow up with you on it. And it's, you know, very reasonably priced. You can get a community set up in a couple of days, and we help put in your calendar information. Our community has a directory, a calendar, kind of news feed, and a marketplace. And it's a nice little tool. So come to our website and check it out.
Very cool. Thank you so much for coming by, Greg.
Thank you. This was fun.
Awesome.
Okay.
You can stream this episode and more at technori.com. You can stay up to date with our Technori news feed and other tech bites by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.